I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at careercycles.com and founder of One Life Tools. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz, Canada's unique podcast conversation that enriches lives, empowers careers, and energizes organizations. Today, I'm your Career Buzz correspondent, interviewing keynoters and speakers on site at the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association's 2018 conference in lovely Winnipeg, Manitoba. The CCPA aims to help practitioners and researchers who work in the field of mental health. Joining me now is CCPA President John Driscoll. After working for 10 years in parish ministry, John served as faculty member and campus counselor at the Nova Scotia Community College for 27 years. Since retirement from the college, he established a private practice in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, and serves as CCPA president. John's an active volunteer. He coordinated Special Olympics in Dartmouth and continues to coach basketball and curling for Special Olympics athletes. He was active in the Nova Scotia Teachers Union and also served as the first chair of the Nova Scotia College of Counseling Therapists. John Driscoll, welcome to Career Buzz.
Thanks, Mark.
So what are all the things that are going on in your career these days?
Well, I work with the Nova Scotia Community College in the Office of Diversity and Inclusion. And our main focal point right now, the work I'm doing, is working on a sexual violence policy for the college and the community and the college. So it's kind of an exciting time for me working on that because it's such an important area to support staff and students in that area. And I also operate a small private practice where I see quite a number of people. Some people in work-related issues, some career-related issues, some relational issues that people deal with.
And you're based in Nova Scotia? Are you in Halifax?
Yeah, where are you based? Dartmouth, Halifax.
Dartmouth? Yeah. Great. And I know you have a third role here as part of the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to be president of the association. We have about 6,500 members. Our office is based in Ottawa. We have about 13 or 14 staff as CEO, and our board is comprised of a representative from every province and territory. Plus, we have an Indigenous director. So it's a great opportunity for me as a person to kind of to meet so many different people with so many skills and so many different stories. So I count myself lucky, really.
Well, I'm a proud member of the association also. So I'll circle back with you later in the interview about your role there. But what are you liking about all these different hats that you wear now in your professional work?
Yeah, I mean, I guess even from my first career, I was in the ministry for about 10 years. I guess I've always been interested in helping and supporting people. So that kind of, all of this stuff relates, and the work with the association is, again, that volunteer spirit, which I enjoy, and that helping spirit. And because I'm a believer in the profession, the association does a great job in promoting the profession and supporting the membership.
Well, in fact, talking about that, we're here at the annual conference of the National Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association. So this is a pretty important topic, and it's an important week. We're actually here on National Mental Health Week. So that's great, and I know this association is fully supportive of it. Why should people care? What are some of the big things that people should really keep in mind, and why there actually is a National Mental Health Week?
Right. Well, our press release this year focused on some of the financial issues surrounding basically the loss of productivity, the loss of work time for people and families who have a family member who has a mental health problem or mental illness, and as a consequence is not able to be at work or be at work intermittently, and the family members who have to support that person and may lose work time themselves. So that's kind of a focal point. We're estimating that approximately $50 billion a year in lost in Canada in worker productivity due to mental health problems or issues or illnesses, and one in five families have a member dealing with something like that.
So huge figures. I mean, that's a whole other analysis how you came up with the 50 billion, but in any event, I think we all know that it's having a big impact on families, individuals, families, and then the workplace. So there's more and more help than ever now, and there's more and more talk about it. We see national campaigns like Bell's Let's Talk campaign, and yet there is still some stigma associated with accessing help from a counselor or a psychotherapist. How has that been changing over the past few years?
Yeah, I think it has been changing, but I still think the stigma associated with being a person who has a mental health illness or problem, sadly, in our society, in our culture, there's still a fair bit of stigma associated with that. And I guess one of the roles that the association and counselors and psychotherapists have to play is helping, working not only with clients they see, but working with families to help them understand that, you know, this is similar to having another medical or issue in their lives.
People aren't quite seeing that. How can, you know, in the workplace, let's say, how can colleagues, coworkers communicate about some of these issues? How can they notice, say something? Any tips or ideas on how to destigmatize it, make it more okay, make it more normal to seek help?
Yeah, I think there can be workplace activities that support all employees in understanding that there needn't be stigma associated with mental health issues. And a fair bit of that is actually going on in many workplaces and many post-secondary and other educational institutions. So I think that goes a long way to help. I also think that seeing a mental health professional, it doesn't take away the stigma, but you know what? You're meeting with a person in confidence, a person you can trust, a person who is going to be respectful of your concerns, and I think that that part can be very helpful as well.
My guest today is John Driscoll. He's the national president of the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association. I'm your host, Mark Franklin of Career Cycles. So, John, just to understand a little bit more about, about the issue and then about the service providers. So listeners might not really understand the difference between a counselor and a psychotherapist on the one hand. Then there are other people out there called psychologists and yet others who are called psychiatrists, and then there are coaches. It can be bewildering. So can you set us up, right? Well, your association represents a certain segment of that helping population. Can you help us understand who's who and what's what?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question because it is, I think, confusing out there for people. And I might say two things. One is, the mental health providers, there's a certain continuum of services. And in many, many ways, many of the people on that continuum offer counseling and psychotherapy services. But in some of the instances, for example, a psychiatrist might be a person who does a diagnosis and prescribes medication. So a counselor is a mental health professional, I think, who's able to assist a person with a problem or a mental health problem or illness in, a lot of times, in short-term therapy sessions or counseling sessions or providing treatment. Some people sometimes say that psychotherapy tends to be a little longer treatment, but a psychotherapist could offer both short and long-term treatments, as well as a counselor. I guess one of the things I'd say about counselors and psychotherapists, most of the training they receive is focused exclusively on developing counseling and psychotherapy techniques to help the client. And in some other professions, there could be a broader scope of preparation for other activities. And I guess that would be a unique and helpful part of that, of the profession.
And seeing we're on a show and a podcast called Career Buzz, I'd need to say about career services and career counseling. And I know there is actually a chapter of the association just focused on career counseling. So can you fit that in for us, the career counselors and their ability to help people around issues that might be life issues, but really focused on what they're doing with their work and their day-to-day, and how does career counseling fit in?
Yeah, I think that, one way you might describe career counseling is not just the kind of maybe traditional focal point that some people would say is someone to help you make career decisions and that kind of things. That's true for sure and really important. But, you know, our career is a kind of a holistic look at our lives. And so people who I think meet with a career counselor can benefit in many ways with mental health issues because, you know, the counselor is going to work with them to kind of get to a place where maybe some of the contextual items that are affecting their mental health would be removed because they're going to make better life decisions. So to me, the career counselor can play a very important role in supporting people with mental health problems or even mental illness.
Nice. So let's just come back to your story a little bit. Now, you're the chair, basically the leader of the board as president that oversees the operations of this national organization. So just thinking about that role and where things are at, it's 2018, lots of things are changing. What is top of mind of the president of the board and its members?
Sorry, can I just bring...
There's a number of items that are really important. I think the association is working across the country in what we would refer to as regulation. It's not, you know, the person on the main street's not concerned about this, but helping counselors have their profession recognized and through a statutory way by government. But the other item we're working on in a big way, third-party billing. You know, many 60% of our counselors are not employed by government agencies or private agencies. Rather, they're working on their own in private practice. And trying to earn a reasonable income is important to continue in the profession. So third-party billing would really aid not only the counselors, but would aid the clients. Because, you know, many people might not have the resources to pay for counseling. So therefore, third-party billing...
Third party like insurance companies or employers even?
That's right, yeah. Many people get this provided through EAP provision, which is good, but there can be even monies allocated to an employee to use to pay directly to a service provider such as a counselor.
And you personally now in this role, how has this been for you? How has it been helpful for you both in your own personal life and your career? How's this role, as especially in a volunteer capacity, how has that been?
Oh, it's been busy because, you know, as I mentioned, we have 6,500 people. So our board meets monthly and then twice a year face-to-face for 4 or 5 days. You know, the board makes the decisions on where our association goes and gives a direction to the employees. And so that part is, I have to be honest and say I'm really thankful to have the opportunity to work with 16 other people plus the staff in kind of providing direction to a group of people and also advocating for the profession on a national level. So the position I'm in as president, there's a 2-year preparatory period and then 2 years in the role and 2 years after. So it's quite a lengthy commitment, but, you know, there's a fair bit of learning to be done. And that 2-year preparation, really important.
Just coming back to your own personal story, you told us a little bit at the beginning about how you got here. Just thinking about all the work you've done, you've been a counselor, now you're on the board of this national association. What can you share with listeners, something maybe that you've noticed or learned about making good choices in life and career? Yeah. What's one thing you can share with listeners?
Sometimes a person may not see themselves in a particular role. And my experience has been, it's a wonderful thing to have someone say to you, listen, why don't you consider that? We think you have skills and the attitude necessary to be successful there, and we support you. So I can say I really appreciate that when someone said that to me. And sometimes you do it on your own, but when someone asks you. And then I'd say to other people, gee whiz, when you see someone who has something to offer, encourage them.
Nice, great advice. If people want to find out more, John, about the association, what should they do?
Well, we have a national website, Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association. If you put that in, you'll come up. We also have a website called Talking Can Help, which is a public-facing website to provide people with information about counseling, various types of counseling, and assisting them in making a good decision about how to get a counselor.
Great. John Driscoll, thanks so much for joining us here on Career Buzz today.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Thank you for listening to the Career Buzz podcast. Find us on iTunes or visit careercycles.com/radio to subscribe and download past episodes. Get inspiring career stories full of twists and turns, actionable ideas from career experts, and new ideas to empower your own career in life.